The fault was ours, dear lady. How could they ask Hindu and Muslim soldiers to bite cartridges greased with pig and cow fat when such a thing is abhorrent to their religious beliefs?
Dr. Hamilton argues.
Come now, old chap, surely you're not justifying slaughter?
The woolly-haired man protests.
Certainly not, Dr. Hamilton says. But if we are to remain a great empire, we must have a greater understanding of the hearts and minds of others.
I should like to hear Mr. Doyle's tale about the tiger, a woman in a tiara says, reminding us.
The guests are agreed, and Father continues his story.
Our Gemma was no more than 6. She loved to play in the garden that bordered the trees, whilst our housekeeper, Sarita, hung the wash and kept watch. That spring, the news spread from village to village. A Bengal tiger had been seen walking the villages, bold as you please. The daring fellow had destroyed a market in Delhi and scared the life out of a regiment there. There was a reward of £100 sterling offered for its capture. We never dreamed the tiger would reach us.
Every head is inclined toward Father, and he basks in his audience's attention.
One day, as Sarita tended to the wash, Gemma played in the garden. She was a knight, you see, with a sword fashioned out of wood. Most formidable she was, though I didn't quite know how formidable. As I sat in my study, I heard screaming from outside. I ran to see what the commotion was about. Sarita called to me, wide-eyed with fear. "Oh, Mr. Doyle, look over there!" The tiger had entered the garden and was making his way toward where our Gemma frolicked with her wooden sword. Beside me, our house servant, Raj, drew his blade so stealthily it seemed to simply appear in his hand by magic. But Sarita stayed his hand. "If you run for him with your knife, you will provoke the tiger," she advised. "We must wait."
A hush has fallen over the table. The guests are enthralled with Father's story, and Father is delighted to have an audience. Playing the charming raconteur is what he does best.
"I must tell you that it was the longest moment of my life. No one dared move, no one dared draw a breath. And all the while, Gemma played on, taking no notice until the great cat was upon her." She stood and faced him. They stared at one another, as if each wondered what to make of the other, as if they sensed a kindred spirit. At last, Gemma placed her sword upon the ground. "Dear tiger," she said, "you may pass if you are peaceful." The tiger looked at the sword and back at Gemma, and without a sound, it passed on, disappearing into the jungle.